hurt. She took a hard fall off there.
Okay.
Gosh, I hope she's okay.
What happened to Jim's request for Billy Idol? Crank this up. This is not 80s, but I want to play this for Jim.
Would you dance if I asked you to dance?
You really were able to get this real fast. Good on Chris. It's like Johnny on the spot, he got this.
Would you cry?
Can we get to the real... When does it get to the real part? The hero part? It's going to take a while. Jim, how are you? You're looking good?
Yeah, I am good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some of us who really value our jobs brave the elements to make it in here. I mean, there's somebody on the morning show who, I don't know, he must like his job.
He's going to beat you up.
Wanted to, I don't know, I just really appreciate what KJR has done to hire me and give me a second chance. But there's another guy here that probably doesn't feel like that.
Here we go. Yeah, there it is. There's Enrique.
Yeah.
Is this Enrique or his kid?
I don't know. I've never heard this song.
You never heard this song?
No. Kid, have you heard it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because the music video's got...
Skillet has a song that's called Hero that's better than this. Hero's their number one hit.
I think, is this the one that has Anna Kournikova in it? This kid? Anyways, we're playing the Hero song because... Jim's a hero today for being able to get into work on the 3 inches of a light dusting of snow at his home.
It was 6 inches.
Yeah, that was
I swear to God, it was six.
Tweet that video out and tell people if that's 6 inches of snow.
Well, Bucky tweeted out his, and he said it was a foot and a half.
Well, he lives, I think, on
that's
the mountain.
That's not a foot and a half, what he's got.
Are we talking about snow? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Be your hero, baby.
Yeah.
Hey.
So, I mean, up on Cougar Mountain, it was a little treacherous, as you would say.
Didn't you go down the other way, though?
Yeah, I went down Lakemont instead of the other way, which is...
Well, thank you for braving the harsh elements to get in here today. You are the hero we all need.
Thank you. Yeah,
it's pretty rich of Chris and I. I mean, we live down here, so it's like...
Nothing.
There's nothing on there, so everybody else is going through, like, hell today. So is it bad where you're at? Like it's
just up on the hill there. Okay. Yeah. Just up on the hill. But once I figured once I got down to like Lake Sammamish area, I-90, that
it's clear as day.
It is clear as day.
Aaron.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, just take it easy.
The difference between
10 and 2.
You know, where we live, it's probably 31 degrees and then 34 or 35 when you get down below.
But do people do freak out here?
Yeah, I think I told you there was a lady right outside my driveway yesterday that just said, hey, no moss. I'm just going to turn on my flashers and I'm not even going to pull off the road. You have to pull off the road. That's all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't sit there and think.
Was that yesterday when she just parked right out in front of your driveway?
Yeah, can I help you? She was waiting for her mom to come help her. And I was just like, can I help you? I'll, you know, get out of my car and come over and I'll drive your car.
What was she
was worried about, like, going in the ditch, I guess. I don't know. But
she was trying to go down the steep way, though.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, error right there.
Yeah. Well, that's all. I mean, just snow advisory. Just, you know, if you don't feel like you want to drive in it, just make sure you pull off the road.
Did you have a car when you were in Pullman?
I did. I had a 64 Volkswagen.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bugs do well in the snow.
They do.
Yeah.
My Volkswagen does great.
Yeah.
And
this little HRV thing I have, all-wheel drive, it motors around pretty well.
That's not the Honda Civic all-wheel drive?
Bucky probably doesn't have that kind of thing.
Bucky's probably got it like a monster truck. He probably is snowed. I mean, I think he does live on the top of Mount Si, so.
I'm counting on him not listening today because typically he might be listening driving home from here, but he didn't get into work today, so I'm hoping that he's not listening today.
So do you think there wasn't enough snow? There he is, Billy Idol. Happy birthday to Billy Idol.
67.
67. He doesn't look 67.
Does he look 77?
90.
Yeah, some miles there on him.
Do you think Bucky decided, maybe a few hours, maybe another extra 45 minutes of sleeping in?
Perhaps. I'll give him that, though, with little kids.
He's going to get you, man. He's going to come after
that,
you.
That guy, though, he's not going to hear this, but I mean,
he's listening probably right now.
He's got little kids. What, he's trying to function on 4 hours of sleep a night? And they do a four-hour show, too, and it's crazy, like, people who aren't that don't do radio, like, well, what's the big deal about one more hour of talking sports? It's really not, but it is at the same time.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I got you. Loud and clear, man. Loud and clear. All right, well, welcome in. It's an 80s Throwback Thursday. We celebrate Billy Idol today. Happy birthday to the king. He's 67. Our show brought to you by the Tulalip Resort Casino. DraftKings Sportsbook, let the betting begin. Today, 11:05, Paul Sorensen, brought to you by Flatstick Pub. Final visit with Paul, your good friend. We'll recap the Apple Cup, the nightmare that was. Could be losing a couple assistant coaches.
And you're hoping that's the case.
On one of them?
Yeah. Who's the other one?
Apparently, Brian Ward is being courted by, he's our defensive coordinator, mm-hmm. is being courted by the Arizona State Sun Devils. And the crying coach.
Oh. Can he Dillingham?
Dillingham. Old yeah. Dilly ball.
Hmm. Would you want to go to ASU instead of WSU?
What do you think?
No.
Yes.
What, just because of the weather?
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably the number one. Yeah.
We have a better program than theirs, though.
Yes, but you're asking lifestyle. Yeah, I would rather live in Tempe or Scottsdale or wherever else.
Are you sure, really, about that?
I am.
Because I kind of get torn about that. Kathy always talks about wanting to move to Arizona, and we're planning on doing that at some point. But I always wonder, like, God, am I going to be okay just sitting there looking at a cactus and strip malls and stuff? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, but you're looking more at Tucson. Tucson is, I think, for me, the parts of Tucson are better than Phoenix and Scottsdale.
But yeah, I think there's kind of some mountains and stuff there.
Hills.
I don't know too much.
Fountain Hills. I'm blanking on the name.
Catalina Foothills?
Catalina Foothills. That's where you want to be.
That
right
looks
up in there.
The pricier area there.
Okay, pricier area, but like compared to here, you're like,
Yeah, that's true.
Like half the cost. Yeah. So you're good.
Yeah. Okay, so wait a minute. If you were offered a job at a Phoenix radio station or a Tucson radio station, you would take it?
Oh, I'm just talking about if I was a coach. I'm talking about if I was a coach.
Okay.
If I was coaching. I mean, live there, I don't know. What do you think his wife thinks if he's married? I mean,
yeah.
I love Pullman.
Yeah. Well, you know,
for 5 years.
I think the wives, we always joked about it, but I don't think it was a joke. Like Nick Rolovich's wife going from Hawaii to Pullman.
She did not like it, though.
Going from Hawaii to Pullman? Come on.
She was not a big fan of it.
I don't blame her.
It was not a big fan.
Bennett's wife, I always wonder how she felt about it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, honey, I'll go to Virginia with you.
All right. We got, Paul Sorensen, last visit with him today. We'll talk about that. Boy, if Morse does leave. So he's interviewing or has interviewed for the head coaching job at Texas State University.
Hmm.
That is in the Sun Belt Conference. So it is a D1 job. Weird thing would be, he can't take Ward because he's already transferred. He'd have to sit out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he does sit out. I don't know. Okay. Kind of weird. Let's see. Mike Garofalo, his weekly visit brought to you by Salmon Services, talking all things NFL 1205. And the great, one of my favorites, Mick Hoffman's going to join us today. He leads and directs the WIAA. It is championship weekend. High school football. We will have the 4A state title game for you. Kennedy Catholic versus Lake Stevens, 5 o'clock on 9:50 a.m. Myself and Taylor Barton will be on the call. We just had our sit-down little chats yesterday with both head coaches. Great guys.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
so you guys are like TV guys that have the meetings with the coaches before you have the broadcast?
Yeah, I mean, professional.
That's awesome.
Not screwing around here.
Yeah, should my feelings be hurt that you didn't ask me to be the color analyst and you got Taylor Barton instead? What was the reason behind that?
I mean, he knows football.
Touche. Fair enough. He doesn't need to know point spreads in high school.
Well, if you want to handicap the game later, we can. You know, and it's kind of special for me. Taylor and I don't think we may have done a game a long time ago. I don't think we've ever done a game, but I think I don't know if I've ever told the story. His dad, who has since passed away a few years ago, his dad and I did when I was in Portland. We started. They had never done high school football before, and so I came up with our program director said, "Hey, we need to do high school football, and we should do a game of the week, and we should start it at the championship game. Let's just start it there, and then we'll kick it off, and then mm-hmm. Next season we'll have." This game of the week. So we start off, and I still think they do it to this day. And his dad was my analyst that day.
Oh, that's cool.
A long time high school football coach down in that area, kind of a quarterback guru. And so it kind of comes full circle.
Yeah.
So good work with his son.
Okay, I'm usually ripping you for something, but I'm going to give you a compliment. Okay, just like with Chris Egan, what he does for high school sports, Todd Millis at Scorebook Live, everybody there at Scorebook Live, they do a terrific job. And we don't have coverage of high school sports like we used to.
Yeah.
And so I think it's cool what you guys are doing, having those broadcasts on. The championship games.
Yeah,
I think it's fun stuff for the kids, the parents, everybody involved.
Yeah, so we'll have that on Saturday. The 4A and 1B games are at Mount Tahoma. That's in Tacoma. The 2A and 3A games are in Sparks. In Puyallup, and 2B and 1A at Harry Ling there in Lakewood. So we'll talk to Mick coming up there at 12:30 today. Other headlines here in the world of sports brought to you by VenueKings.com. Well, it's official.
You're not happy.
I'm not, because they royally bent them over and hammered them from behind and didn't use the courtesy to use anything.
Mm.
They raw-dogged the Rose Bowl. Can I say raw-dog? I think I can. Because that's what they did. The College Football Playoff Committee raw-dogged them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just disappointed in the Rose Bowl. I'm disappointed who runs it. Why? Why did you bend over so much for these guys? It's one. They asked. Okay, so they
probably
they asked,
money. Money was involved.
Well, money, but so they asked. So the Rose Bowl finally conceded last night. Fine, we'll break our exclusive window. The sticking point for the Rose Bowl. I didn't even get to the headline. College Football Playoff. It's official. Next year they'll expand 12 teams.
Most people are happy about that.
I'm happy that it's expanding. That's people are going to get confused.
Like Washington would be in. As of right now, right? Are they 12 or are they 13?
They're out, right?
They're 13? What are they?
Hold on.
Thought maybe they were 12.
I thought they were out because I saw the thing and maybe they're out. Maybe I'm wrong. No, they were 12. No.
Okay.
But hold on. But when he... No, they're not because... Hold on. Because it's not exactly that because then they have the highest finishers. Hold on. No, they're not. The bracket, if it happened today, the 12 seed is Tulane. 11th seed is Utah. The 10th seed is Kansas State. The 9th seed is Clemson. The 8th seed is Penn State. The 7th seed is Tennessee. Alabama, 6. Ohio State's 5. USC, and then the top 4, Georgia, Michigan, TCU, USC.
And then how does it work? I mean, I should know this. I could have looked it up, but I was busy fighting the snow and the elements.
It was treacherous for you.
So who do they get? Like, does number one get a bye, number two get a bye? How many byes are there?
So the first 4 seeds get a bye.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But so Tulane would get in ahead of Washington. Yeah. I haven't followed the Green Waves or whatever their nickname is, their season, but don't you think Washington would wipe the floor with them?
Probably. It's the 6 highest-ranked champions that are get automatic qualifiers.
Okay.
The 6 highest-ranked automatic qualifiers. Then it's the next 6 highest ranked teams at large, and then the buys of the top 4 conference championships, all that.
So Tulane, because they won their conference, would qualify ahead of
so
Washington.
They're still not even in.
Okay. All right. But you're disappointed because you wanted to see the Rose Bowl stick to their guns and have their New Year's Day game and have the Big Ten against the Pac-12.
I did, but this is like a bigger philosophical kind of thing with me, and it's like, We just want everything that's bigger and better, and I like the College Football Playoff. This is a great step in the right direction. I just think that they could have done a lot better to the Rose Bowl and treated it a lot better for a game that's the longest bowl game in the history of bowl games. It's the most recognizable bowl game. It's the most pageantry. It's in the most beautiful setting, and they just completely railroaded it because it's this whole College Football Playoff committee and everything that runs college football is an East Coast bias. They have no allegiance whatsoever to the Rose Bowl. They don't care about it. They don't know anything about it. It's, you know, the pageantry of the game has really been dead, honestly, since the last time we played Michigan. Because go back and look, because that's when it ended. Because everyone's saying, like John Wilner has a tweet today, well, this year's Rose Bowl will be the last traditional Pac-12, Big Ten. No, it was 1997 was the last traditional one. Because then the BCS came into effect and it all ended. So it ended it from there.
Boy, when you bring up that 97 game, you just all those memories come back of like, we couldn't get him off the field on third down.
We could not. And Michael Black, if he had not gotten hurt.
Yeah.
So the Pac-12 asked, hey, if we do agree to it, you know, we are the one roadblock. All we ask is if in the first 3 years of the deal, This is what they have. In the first 3 years of the deal, can we be two of the first 3 years? Can we be one of the semifinal games? And you keep us on our traditional January 1st, 2 o'clock start. Because I here's what's
not too much to ask.
Here's what, like, I'm very sentimental and I'm very, like, traditional. I'm a very big traditionalist. Mm-hmm. I like things. You know, I like Thanksgiving. I like Christmas. I like everything that goes around with it. I like waking up January 1st knowing at 2 o'clock, you know, the fighter jet's going to fly over Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
And then the start of the third quarter, the sun's going to set. And then the San Gabriel Mountains are going to come out and I'm going to cry.
Do you get that sentimental about
it? I love that. I love that whole. I love that setting. I love everything about it.
You like the whole granddaddy of them all.
Oh, the Rose Bowl parade, just all of it. The grass. I mean, how do they make the grass look like that?
Mm-hmm.
And now that's all gone because it will never start at that time again. It's never going to be on that day anymore. But the Rose Bowl asked them, "Hey, we'll concede, no problem. We're standing in the way. Again, we want." Two of the first 3 years, we want to be a semifinal game on that day, our traditional time. They said no. And you know what they rewarded them with? The first 2 years of the deal, you're the quarterfinal game. So they don't even
care. Quarterfinals at the Rose Bowl.
It's the quarterfinals. The first 2 years of the deal. They said, no, pound sand, Rose Bowl. You get the quarterfinals instead.
Hmm.
So that's just my issue with the whole thing. It's like, it could have been treated with a lot more respect than it got treated.
Yeah. So they probably just felt, well, we're in a corner here. We got to take the deal.
Well, we got to take the deal. We're going to lose out money. And then here's the thing, you know, what are we going to lose out on television networks? Is the television network not going to pick us up? You know, are we just going to be thrown to the wayside? I mean, again, people say, well, what do you want, the third place team from those two conferences? Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah, the thing is, though, Puck, is that you're in your 40s, I'm in my 60s, and so I'm with you on the Rose Bowl and the tradition surrounding it and the Rose Bowl parade, everything about it, but and holding the game on January 1st. But as we get older, other people are getting younger, and other people don't care about the Rose Bowl like you and I. There's other people out there that probably look at the Rose Bowl like, it's just like the Sun Bowl or the Alamo Bowl or the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl. I mean, you know, look at those Ohio State kids that didn't play in it last year. It was like, really? The Rose Bowl? You're not going to play in that? And they probably went, Rose Bowl, Schmoes Bowl. Who cares?
That's just too bad, though. That's just a commentary on our society, though. We just don't. We don't care about the past anymore in anything. We don't care about maintaining any type of form of tradition for anything anymore. We just don't. Mm. We move on. We, you know, what's the shiny new toy? And we throw stuff out to the trash as fast as possible. There's nothing wrong with slowing down and just, okay, yes, did the bowl games when we were growing up, and I'm, again, happy for the plep, but when we were growing up and we were watching the bowl games in the 80s and the 90s, it's the TV news cycle and all that. Were you mad as hell when the AP came out with their national champion and then the coaches came out with their vote? You screamed and yelled and like were your fist at the sky.
Well, no, but it was always controversial, it seemed like.
Yeah, it was.
Especially that one year. What was it, 84? Do you remember that when BYU got the national championship over Washington and they beat a 6-5 Michigan team at the Holiday Bowl?
I yearn for the past when I wake up on New Year's Day and it started off with the Cotton Bowl and then it was, it was the Orange Bowl and the Fiesta. Or excuse me, you're going to go Cotton Bowl, Rose Bowl. Then you'd get the Orange and Fiesta would kick off at roughly the same time.
Or you'd have the Orange and Sugar.
No, Sugar was always a late one.
After the Rose Bowl, you knew you had the Orange and the Sugar.
And the Fiesta.
Yeah, so the Orange would be on Channel 5 and the Sugar would be on Channel 4.
Yeah, and then you get the Fiesta. But, I don't know. It was fun. I miss those days.
I'm with you on that, but I don't. You know, I'm not sure on this, but I think the Orange and Sugar. There's probably one of them that comes after the Rose Bowl on the same day, but I think the other one probably plays the next day. Now,
saying when we were watching back in the day, all those games were on. I just don't like the way that they were. The College Football Playoff Committee wanted to set an example because they were so frustrated with them. And mad that the Rose Bowl was, according to them, you know, holding up the deal, that they punished them.
Well, you could make a good case, couldn't you? And I think you could. If you're the Rose Bowl, like, look, we're going to do this, but we want to hold the championship final game every year. That's sure. That's okay. We'll concede that we're not going to have it on January 1st anymore, but in return, we should have the championship every single year. And yeah. then that would create a new tradition.
Yeah. How about that? But no, but see, but it doesn't mean anything to these people.
So they don't care. I mean, they always have to hold it somewhere.
No, it rotates.
So it'll be in Atlanta.
So it's in Atlanta next year. Then it's in Miami.
The Jerry Jones Dome, it'll be there.
They just, you know, that's the greatest setting in all of sports is that stadium. It would be nice if we, as college football, morphs into this new system, right? And I get it because you want to spread it all around so all the different cities can get the money and all that. And that's all that matters is money, right? At the end of the day, just money. But what if every single year, to your point, that the game, let's say, doesn't happen on January 1st anymore, but it happens on...
like the 15th.
I think it's on the 9th. It's the 20th next year. January 20th, which I think it's a Monday. All right, all the games are on Monday. But imagine then, you know, it starts at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
And then you still have everything, but, you know, they just... And that every year, you know, that when you start college football, your path is to Pasadena.
Yeah. The road to Pasadena.
The road to Pasadena.
And you would think it would be appealing. I don't know what the other stadiums hold. They're probably close to 100, but I mean, some of them aren't. And so you got 100,000 there at the Rose Bowl. But yeah, I'm with you on that. But I do like the idea of a 12-team playoff. That'll be more fun.
Be more fun, but there's a lot of holes in this thing. There is a lot. We'll get into it next. There are so many holes in this thing. And first and foremost is this insanely stupid idea that after the first round, you're going to travel to different sites. It's dumb. You want to talk about a group that literally looked at their fan bases and said, F off. Because that's what they just did to you. They just literally told every fan base, we don't care about your money at all. I mean, all these games should be played at home until you get the championship game. We'll give you more of the details coming up a little bit later. Again, so Paul Sorensen, 11:05, Mike Garofalo, 12:05, Mick Hoffman of the WIA coming up there at 12:30. On an 80s Throwback Thursday, our show brought to you by the Tulalip Resort Casino DraftKings Sportsbook. I never even thought of that angle. God, I love our conference. I really do love the Pac-12. We're joking about it right now. So George Kliavkov is having a press conference right now. And with Merton Hanks, his director of football operations, talking about all things, you know, the title game's coming up tomorrow. They own their own network, correct? So instead of showing the public who can get the channel, the Pac-12, instead of showing George Kliavkov and Merton Hanks, you know, their press conference where they have a team still viable for the college football playoff, they have the favorite, no doubt, to probably win the Heisman, and Caleb Williams. They've got a lot to talk about with the new media rights deal that is weeks away. News that UCLA may stay. Instead of showing that press conference, the Pac-12 network has decided to show probably, and no disrespect, the worst loss of the season for anyone in the Pac-12, Washington and Arizona State. They're replaying the Arizona State-Washington game, on which that's the game that has cost Washington a chance to play in for the Pac-12 title and a chance at the college football playoff. And featuring a guy that should be in the Heisman consideration, Michael Penix. We're going to show that game to our audience, the worst loss of the year in the conference for a favorite, opposed to showing a press conference.
Yeah, or opposed to showing Washington's win over Oregon or Washington's win over the Cougs.
Yeah, all of it. Yeah.
And Michael Penix having I don't know what he did. He mustn't have had one of his better games if they lost to ASU, but that just... It doesn't really take that much. Like, if you're in the media relations down there, hey, George, do you realize what we're doing here? And then what does it take to get it? They just need one camera on that press conference, don't they? And then a microphone in the crowd so you can hear the questions. I mean, I'm sure that the Big Ten and everybody else, when they have their commissioner on a press conference, they run it live.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I don't quite get that, but.
Well, but it's very, isn't it very Pac-12-y? I mean, this just screams Pac-12.
Yeah. And it's not us being Cougs, like going, oh, God, look at it. No, it's just like, I don't understand it. They shouldn't be doing that. They should be showcasing, like, a Heisman Trophy candidate in one of his better games. And here's one of our better teams in the conference beating Oregon. Mm-hmm. Something like that. But whatever.
Yeah, it is. it's unbelievable. But again, I mean, it's just, It's not.
They're showcasing one of the worst referees, though. They got Michael Mothershed in this game.
Oh, I love Mothershed.
He's out
Boy,
there.
Boy, there's nothing wrong. There's, you know, when you get a game and it's Michael Mothershed, you're like, all right, we're gonna have a great, we're gonna have a great game. God Almighty, man. You know, they announced that the college bowl playoff is going to expand next year. So the quarterfinals next year will be the Fiesta, the Peach Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Sugar. Semifinals will be the Cotton and the Orange, and the 2025 quarterfinals again will be the Cotton, Orange, Sugar, and Rose, Fiesta, and Peach. Again, the semifinals. The Rose Bowl relinquished that exclusive window that they wanted, the January 1st at 2 o'clock. All they had asked for was hosting a semifinal on New Year's Day, and two of the first 3 years rotation college football playoff committee said no. Actually, and when it was written by, I think it was Ross Dellinger of SI, I think he used the word, it was a firm no.
A firm no, not just a lukewarm no.
A firm no.
Wow.
They had even asked that when they were not a part of, I believe, the semifinals rotation or the championship game, they had asked to hold a separate game.
Hmm.
A separate game featuring the traditional Big Ten,
mm-hmm.
Pac-10, and they said, yeah, no.
Another firm no.
Another firm, another F you. So every game, see, here's where they got it wrong. And again, how many schools does this apply to? But let's say Washington were getting to be one of the teams that were in this year, okay, in the college football playoff. And again, so let's say you're in as the 12th seed, which apparently they have Tulane as the 12th seed now based on if they win this week. So if you were Washington and playing, let's say, the Buckeyes this week or when the college football playoff started, now the first round games would be at the home team. Actually, they said it's either at the home team or they get to decide like on a close neutral site, but I guess it'll be at the home teams, home games.
So the better seeded team.
The better seeded team. So you play in, in the horseshoe, right? Let's say you win. Then you travel. Then you have to go. The Ohio State Washington winner, Ohio State Tulane winner, would have to go and play in the Rose Bowl against USC. So you have to travel to Pasadena the next week.
Oh, because USC had a bye.
Yeah. And then the winner of that game then has got to go travel to the Peach Bowl. Is the Peach Bowl in Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So then you have to travel. If you're a fan base, you win again, you're traveling to Atlanta. And then if you win that, you travel to, which is the site next year. Well, you can stay in Atlanta because the championship game is there, but it's in 2 weeks. So you're asking a college fan base, parents, all that, that they're going to have to travel three, if they make it all the way to the championship game, 3 straight weeks of traveling.
Yeah, so in that scenario, Washington going to Ohio State, to Columbus, and then back to Pasadena, and then to Atlanta,
and then to another site, Miami or Atlanta again.
Yeah.
So airfare, hotels.
Yeah. If your kid's rentals. On the team, you're going to do that. If you're rich, you're going to do it. But if
you've basically told your fan base, the majority of your fan base, to see you later. No one's going to afford. How do you afford all that? On back-to-back weeks like that?
Well, then you'd sit there and go, well, I hope we win this week because I'm going to go to next week's game. And then right. You get screwed over because your team doesn't win.
You got to pick and choose, right? So if you're like a Washington fan, let's say Washington was a 12th seed, they're playing Ohio State. You're like, well, do I go to Columbus? Or do I hope they beat Ohio State? And then I'm going to go to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, it'd be cheaper to go to L.A.
And then you're like, well, maybe I think we could beat USC. I'm going to take my chances. We'll go to Atlanta on the Peach Bowl. I don't know why it's so difficult. I think Gene Smith has been one of the outspoken guys. He's the AD at Ohio State who said, I mean, they should all be at the higher seed home games until you get to the championship game. I mean, there's a weird sport here that it's really popular. I think 42 million people watched a game on Thanksgiving Day between I think they're the Giants and the Cowboys. So I don't know if you've ever heard of this league, Jim. It's called the National Football League. They have a weird playoff format where the higher seed hosts the game. And then they get to the end of the year where the two teams meet and they celebrate with this silver trophy called the Lombardi. And then that's usually at a site. I think that format, I don't know if you're familiar with this format, but it's gone over pretty well.
It's gone over really well. The only thing I don't like about it is when, and we'll see it this year, Tampa Bay is probably going to win the NFC South with an 8-8 record,
yeah.
And they're going to host a wild card team that might have a better record.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that. Yeah, that's true.
Seahawks, that happened to them too. That 7-9
yeah.
year.
Yeah, when they beat when they beat the Saints.
But anyway, I'm throwing a little water on there, yeah. but not much.
But I think, but don't you
bad
agree?
Teammate? You
but
know.
Don't. Well, yeah. I mean, come on. Thanks, Ross.
Hey, I made it in.
You did make it in. You did make it in. That really was the big victory today.
Thanks, Ross. I missed that for a second.
Yeah,
I picked up on it, though.
Now
yeah,
you got it.
Yeah, we have no skinny today or shinny or anything.
Shinny.
Yeah, shinny. Yeah, we have none of that today.
Yeah. But I don't, that's just one gripe about it. I think if you're a fan, I don't think they're really looking out here for the fans. I think they're looking out for the big corporate sponsors, and they're going to treat every one of these games like the Super Bowl, where, you know, the Super Bowl is mm-hmm. really not for the fans anyways. It's more of just a corporate event.
Yeah.
And I think all these games will turn into that once you get outside of those first round of the games.
No, that part of it, I mean, like, if the Cougs get into that thing, you're going to want to go to every single game and then, you know, be just taking your credit card out and going, oh, well, go Cougs.
Yeah. I mean, well, if you got one of those Go Cougs credit cards, you'll be okay, right?
But, yeah, you don't want to miss a game.
No, you don't. But, I mean, there's just no way you can afford it all. No one can afford that. I mean, 4 straight weeks on the road or at least 3 straight weeks?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, you know, that's way too much money. All right, it's a throwback Thursday. That's it on the college football playoff. Big news coming out of the Seahawks and Rams. We'll get you updated on that coming up next. All right, today's Throwback Thursday. It's Puck and the Go-To Guy with you here on the old radio program. There's, you know, the expanded playoffs. We talked to the first hour about that. I think a lot of people are confused. Washington is ranked 12th in the college football playoff rankings. And there's assumptions that they would be in. They're not in. It's not the top 12. So it's the 6 at large automatic qualifiers when you win your conference.
Mm-hmm.
They're in. That's why Tulane is number 12. They're assuming Tulane wins their conference championship game, which is this weekend. They would be the 6-1. That's why they're seeded 12. And then it's 6 at large teams. After that, am I confusing you?
No, but can you imagine what this would be like if that were to take place? If you're a Husky fan?
Well, you're looking at it outraged.
I mean, we'd be favored by 14 over Tulane or something like that. And they're in?
Yeah, so it's
always going to be, no matter how many teams you have in there, even if you have like 64 teams in there, there's always the 65th team that feels hosed.
It's the 6 at large. It's the 6 automatic qualifiers. And Tulane would be the American champion. And they would be the 6th team. They would be ranked the highest, even though in the college football playoff rankings, Tulane, again, this is why it's a stupid system.
But why would that conference be included? Who's in that conference? Do you even know? What is it, the American conference?
American, what did I just say? the American conference. Go look it up. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think they should be in it. That's why I said yesterday when we did this whole thing, to me, the easiest thing is you just take three teams from each conference of the Power Five.
You got Tulane, you got Central Florida, Cincinnati. Okay, I mean, you know, SMU, Houston, Navy.
Cincinnati was in it last year, right?
East Carolina, Memphis, Tulsa, Temple, South Florida. So that's it's a good conference, but it's not Pac-12 caliber.
Well, I mean, week in and week out, it's the competition they've got to go up against. Whatever, this is what they, but again, for those who don't, that's why Tulane would be in. Because this is where you get outraged if you are a Husky fan. Because if it happened this year, then they go to the 6 at-large teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
That make up the other ones. Well, Penn State's a Big Ten at-large. Tennessee is the at-large. Kansas State's the at-large. Utah, Alabama, Ohio State. That's why you would be outraged. You're saying to yourself, well, why is Utah ranked ahead of us right now? If it ended right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, if it this was, you know, depending on how the outcome comes out, if they were like to lose like this weekend, right, then they would knock them. Washington would jump them. I'm just saying as of right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it started right now, they'd be out. And you'd look at Utah 9-3, Utah would be in over Washington.
Man. Yeah, that would be tough to take.
Especially, of course it would be.
It's tough to take when it's just one team you feel shouldn't be there, but if there's two teams that you feel like you should be in there ahead of,
yep.
and you got a good case for that.
Well, then it's Kansas State being ahead of them, too. I think people have a very, you know, a great argument with Kansas State. You look at their resume and you say, well, what is it? What is their resume so special about? But it's the game that we're watching right now. It's this one right here. Instead of watching the press conference for George Kliavkov, Pac-12 Network, the national network, is re-showing Washington blowing the game against Arizona State.
Which is the main reason that they're not in the conversation.
It's the main reason. It's the only reason. Which is, you know,
It's a strange one. But there's going to be every year, even though they're expanding to 12, there's going to be the 13th team being outraged.
The
Final Four seems kind of flimsy this year to me. I mean, I know Georgia and Michigan, okay, worthy. You know, they're in for sure. But the next two, I mean, you can blow holes, can't you, in TCU a little
and
bit?
USC? Yeah. Sure, because you could say TCU has rallied for all these games. They've won them late. You could say when you watch USC and you go, well, I'm not so sure on USC.
Yeah.
And then I remember I shared you that yesterday, that article on ESPN. Now I know who the defensive coordinator is now. Remember I shared that article Adam Rittenberg did on ESPN where a defensive coordinator in the Pac-12 said, no, Penix is much tougher than Caleb Williams, and it was much harder for us to defend him than defend Williams.
Mm-hmm.
It's Trent Bray, the defensive coordinator at Oregon State.
Oh, okay.
Because Canzano did an interview yesterday in Utah, and it said that Trent Bray told him, yeah, when we schemed and played both of them, much harder to face Penix than Williams. So he let it out of the bag.
Yeah. I mean, that was pretty clear, wasn't it? Penix over Williams. But it's, you know, yeah. I mean, Williams is going to win the Heisman, though. And
so I looked it up today, and I know we got to get quick Seahawk news. So this is who's on this playoff committee. This is who we're entrusting. Mitch Barnhart, AD at Kentucky. Tom Berman, AD at Wyoming. Boo Corrigan, AD at NC State. He's the guy that they put out there. He's like the leader of the whole thing. Rick George is really the only one on the West Coast, I guess. But Rick George is the AD at Colorado. Will Shields is a former All-American lineman at Nebraska. Now he currently owns a gym. So it's good that he's on the football committee.
But don't you like that better than the ADs being involved?
Yeah, sure. Ward Manuel is the AD at Michigan. Jim Grobe is a former coach at Baylor and Wake Forest. Do you remember Jim Grobe at all?
No.
Okay. Chet Gladchuk is the AD at football powerhouse Navy. Gene Taylor is the AD at Kansas State. Joe Taylor is the VP athletics of Virginia Union. John Urschel, remember him? He played briefly in the NFL, like 2 years. Played at Penn State. He is now a member of the Institute of Advanced Study.
All right.
Rod West is a group president of Utility Operation Energy Corporation. I don't know what that is. And then Kelly Whiteside is an associate professor at Montclair State University.
Okay, so Willingham's not on it anymore?
No, he's golfing.
Okay.
So that's your committee.
All right. So what do you want? Like, you don't want any ADs, right?
No ADs. I like the player route, but do you get some bias in the play? Well, I mean, my ultimate goal is what I said yesterday, just decide it like we do in the NFL. You win your division, you win your conference, you're in.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's got to play each other. You got to play each other. You got to get rid of it. You got to make it fair and equitable. That's how I would. That's the only fair way to do it.
Yeah, I get a kick out of
the entire system and make sure that everyone plays everyone in the conference.
Yeah, I think you're in the minority on that. I'm with you though, but a lot of people are talking about what Washington missed this year? They missed Utah and USC, right?
Missed the two teams that are playing the title game tomorrow. Now, again, I don't know. Do they beat them both? Sure, I make a case that they can. I can make a case that they lose to both of them.
Right.
But they didn't play them.
Yeah. No, I sure liked it back when it was the Pac-10 when you played all nine opponents in your conference and you had three non-conference games for 12.
Imagine winning. I know it's not a great comparison, but imagine winning the NFC West if you're the Seahawks. We avoided the Niners, though.
Yeah, okay, that just wouldn't happen.
You didn't really win the division.
Yeah.
You avoided, the best team in there.
But the flip side of that is that, you know, dog eat dog, you know, you're going to, you know, cannibalize yourselves if you play too many conference games, and then you'll find yourself out of the college football playoff because you'll have too many losses.
How bad, quickly tease us, now we got to go to break, how bad are the Seahawks going to beat the Rams this weekend? No Aaron Donald, no Stafford, no Kupp, no Robinson. I know they didn't have many ways. I mean, hell, their best wide receiver is that, like, white guy that's kind of like Cooper Kupp light.
who is that?
Scarbrook or something. I don't know what his name is. I mean, they got no one, dude.
No, I know. No one. Okay, but then why is the line only seven?
I don't know. Okay. Run to, I'm telling you right now.
Don't run. Don't listen to what he's about to say.
Run
don't
to the Tulalip Casino DraftKings Sportsbook and put as much money as you possibly can on the Seahawks against the Rams. Run.
Do you ever listen to me when I say if it looks too obvious to go one way, you should either go the other way or not bet it at all?
Run.
You're not listening.
I'm listening.
You don't buy that at all?
Well, they set the
spread. It's a sucker bet. They're to take the Seahawks this week is a sucker bet.
Going to win by 10 or more.
It's a sucker.
Okay. How much?
You and me. I'll take the Rams in seven.
Okay. Oh, seven and
like
a half.
$20.
I think you actually get
seven. Oh, I get seven and a half. You're going to give me the hook?
No, you said seven, so.
I'll take seven.
You want seven or seven and a half?
Yeah. Well, seven and a half.
Okay, just duly noted, the go-to guy. Just me, I bet on America this week against Iran, and I bet on the Seahawks. My partner bet on Iran. And
$10.
Bet the Rams.
Yeah, I was unpatriotic, I guess, and I was a loser on that one, too. Okay, I'll probably be a loser on the Rams, too, but all right, well, it just...
So I got the Seahawks minus seven this week.
Half. Seven and a half.
Well, do you want the half?
I do want the half.
Okay, you can have the half.
Okay.
That's how charitable I feel.
All right.
Okay. All right, Paul Sorensen talking all things Cougar football. We'll finish up the Apple Cup, and we'll revisit the offseason. A couple of assistant coaches could be on the move. Paul Sorensen next.